Doesn't snow all the time in Seattle.
Rain, snow, doesn't matter. The weather sucks.
I can't argue with that. Here's a weather report from Seattle. It sucks up here. Don't come. And then May hits and everyone flops.
Welcome back to WST, your West Coast source for sports. K-Win, Big Ben. Super Bowl's over. Tom Brady threw a trophy, threw down a couple Bud Lights. How do you think he's feeling today?
Avocado tequila it was. The boat parade that was in Tampa. There was, where did I see this? But Tom Brady had basically conquered the NFL. Like Morgan Freeman came on chat and said, Tom Brady wins, shut down the NFL right now. He conquered the game. Super Bowl was as I expected it. Bucks, big win. You took the Chiefs. Unfortunately, you lost that prop bet. I know you didn't want me to mention that, but I will.
Because I lost all my prop bets. I didn't want to talk about it.
So what's on the horizon? What are we talking about?
Let's just take the fans around the West Coast. And I want to start out with
UCLA
Bruins, 8-clap. So I want to go back 2 years ago. UCLA was looking for a head coach. Steve Alford left. They wanted the big names. They wanted Jay Wright, Billy Donovan, maybe Rick Barnes. But you know what? None of them decided to give up their current coaching jobs to come to UCLA. So they settled for Mick Cronin. And I only say settled is because he was getting bad press. Like everyone's like, why Mick? Why Mick? Why Mick? And then last year, the Bruins won 10 out of 13, were on their way to the NCAA tournament. You know what happened? COVID. So there was no March Madness, but this year the Bruins were coming back. 8 of their top 10 players, Chris Smith, a preseason Pac-12 favorite to be player of the year, wooden candidate, gets hurt. Bruins in trouble? No! They revamped their offense. Mick Cronin, known for defense, did some creative things on offense. And right now, today, as of today, they're tied for first place of the Pac-12, Big Ben. What do you think about the UCLA Bruins?
I think they're going down tonight.
Wow.
My Cougs. Woo! That's what, no. In all honesty, I think it does start with Cronin. If you look at his background, the guy's from Cincinnati. I haven't been to Cincinnati since I can't claim this, but it's a tough city. You watch Cincinnati versus Marquette versus they bring it. He was the Pac-12 coach of the year last year. Sporting News National Coach of the Year back in 2018. I don't know why he was a second, third, or tertiary, quartiary choice for UCLA. Great fit there, in my opinion.
Yeah, and he's known for defense, but this year, the Bruins have 4 players averaging double digits. You could say 5, but Chris Smith got hurt after 8 games. They got Jamie Jacquez, Johnny Zizang from UK. They got my boy Tiger
Campbell. Wait, can you say that again?
Johnny Zizang. Zizang. And the Bruins have only lost 2 games, one to Stanford, who potentially could get in the NCAA tournament because they have 2 pros in Oscar De Silva and Zaire Williams. And then they lost to USC, their crosstown rivals. But they're missing 2 of their big players. And I'm going to say this, Big Ben. UCLA, March Madness, look out for them because they're going to play defense. They don't rely on one star. They rely on a team, and they've got Mac in Tannen, a freshman who was a top prospect, just became eligible last week. He's going to add to that roster. Bruins, I got them going to the Sweet 16. You heard it here first, Big Ben.
I don't think the Sweet
16. Is that Mick crawling you?
That is Mick. Actually, no, it was Hodges, who's about as old as Mick. has a little more hair. But Mick, I agree with you. Mick brings grittiness. Everywhere he's gone, he's won. Yeah. I mean, going back to Murray State, He went, took him to the NCAA tournament twice. That's tough. Ohio Valley Coach of the Year. So I agree with you. He's tough. He's gritty. And UCLA, each time it seems like they make it to the NCAA tournament, kind of under the radar, they make it to a Sweet 16 or beyond. So I like your assessment. And, you know, in the crazy year of COVID, when they do have the tournament, it's going to be parity upon parity. We could see 16 seeds in the Final Four. We don't know.
We don't know. But what we do know is the Bruins are going up to take on the Cougs tonight and UW on Sunday or Saturday.
Saturday. That's a tough swing.
What's going on up there, Big Ben? That's Cougs a tough 10th place. UW's in 11th place.
Listen, when it comes to basketball up here in Washington, at this current point in time, the Cougs are the supreme team, but that's like saying you're the supreme team, I don't know, in a sense of you're the third worst team in the Pac-12, but you're the best team in Washington. Actually, you're the second best team in Washington, behind the Zags. And maybe Eastern Washington might be better than you, too. I don't know what's going on up here. I know the Cougs are on an upswing. Kyle Smith's in the down year, but Hopkins over at UW, it's been ugly. A lot of teams are questioning themselves, questioning Hopkins in the zone, but UCLA's got it running. I like that hat. There's a bandwagon K Wynn can jump on right now. It should be UCLA.
All right. UCLA Bruins. Make sure you check them out. What else you want to get into today, Big Ben?
All right. Let's the elephant in the room.
Ooh.
Up here in Seattle.
Ooh.
Russ. A ton of talk. And I will say this. Russell Wilson won the Walter Payton Man of the Year Award this year in the NFL. So any ill that I speak of him is solely in context to what he said about his offensive lineman. Myself being offensive lineman back in the day, slight, svelte. Anytime your quarterback said, well, I got sacked because my offensive line couldn't block, you take some onus in that. We've also seen it in the past where Ryan Leaf got so on his offensive line and blamed him, they just stopped blocking for him.
Mm-hmm.
Walter Jones, a Hall of Famer, All-Pro Seahawks, said that needs to stay in-house, Russ. And so let me give you the comment that he actually came out and said. So he said, part of it, like any player, you never want to get hit. That's the reality of playing this position. Ask any quarterback who plays this game. They don't want to get, that's obvious. At the same time, it's part of the job. I've definitely been hit. I've been sacked almost 400 times. We've got to get better. But he also goes on to say, I've got to find ways to get better too. That's in an interview with Dan Patrick. Okay, when, I don't know if you've heard this term, the C and C.
No. I haven't.
Russ comes to me. That sounds like a comment and complainer. I hate these people. Where do you want to go free? I don't know. You make a suggestion. They comment and complain. No, that place stinks. All right, then make a decision. No.
Russ, is this his way of saying we need to sign some people on the offensive line or draft some players?
Listen, I don't know what it is. But here's my thing. In the past years, so I got to note this too, because Russ is a good guy. He's given his offensive lineman $12,000 in Amazon stock. That's roughly 100K, eight linemen. But in actuality, Russ, that's 1/3 of a single percent of his gross salary. So to your point, Russ is making a ton of money, $31 million a year cap hit. That's huge.
Yeah.
So what do you do in these type of situations?
Does he want to get traded?
I don't know. You know what? Here's my thing. If you went and asked someone, who's Russell Wilson, anywhere west of Denver, they would probably say Ciara's husband.
Yeah.
I think he's living in this. He's seen Tom Brady conquer the NFL. He's seen Patrick Mahomes eclipse him as kind of this marketable person. You don't see Russell Wilson on State Farm commercials.
No.
In fact, you don't see Russell much outside of kind of this bubble that we have him in the Pac Northwest. People have referred to Seattle as Southern Alaska. And in terms of marketability of players, that's pretty much true. If you didn't have NBA jams back in the day, you probably didn't realize how good Gary Payton and Sean Kemp were.
Yeah.
Like, that's just the fact of the matter. So I think it's somewhat of Russ trying to elevate himself as a more marketable person. He's humble. He speaks like a robot. He won the Walter Payton Man of the Year Award, but yet, you know, the respect from the NFL doesn't come along with that. Instead, he makes these comments, which, God, there was a whole segment today on like NFL Live about how it came across. He wants to take credit when he does great things in the Super Bowl, but when he starts getting sacked and prolonging plays, he wants to blame someone else.
Yeah. I actually thought his quote was taking out of context just because Russ doesn't typically complain or say that. So I didn't even click on the article. But now listening to you and getting more context into it, he definitely did complain. And I agree. That just needs to stay in-house. What he said wasn't wrong. He just said it to the wrong people. Just say it to Pete Carroll and the general manager. Those are the people you need to have the conversation with.
Exactly. And I think it's his cry for help. Like, I want more, you know, I want more equity in making decisions in and around the organization, right? Well, here's an easy decision to make, Russ. Here's your average salary over the course of your career per season, $18 million. Let's compare you to Brady, $12 million. You're making 50% more than Brady did per season. You know what Brady did throughout his career? He opted to go pay other people. He restructured his contract. He made sure his offensive line was paid well, and he got the right people blocking for him.
Thought you were going to say he just used Giselle's credit cards.
Maybe that too. Sierra's tight in her money. Quick trivia question for you. Who's the shortest quarterback ever to win a Super Bowl?
I don't know how tall Trent Dilfer is. Is it Russ?
It
could
Russ.
Be Russ, I guess.
5'11". 5'11". Next question. Russell Wilson is closer in height to A, Tom Brady, or his wife, Ciara?
Ciara.
Correct.
Tom Brady's like 6'5".
Tom Brady's 6'4".
Yeah.
I think what...
How tall is Ciara?
Ciara's 5'7".
Ooh.
So what I'm saying is, you always look at someone like, what's going on in their lives to make them make this comment? Russ is becoming an afterthought. And he's quickly coming to either blame the offensive line or saying, move me to where I can get more recognition.
Yeah.
The guy went to NC State. He went to Wisconsin. Now he's ended up in Seattle. To be honest, it's not the most marketable city. It's where you come to start a tech company after you can't afford San Francisco. Let's be honest. So for me, really, when it comes down to it, here's the solution. When you have everyone that comments, complains, oh, things not good. What's the solution? Here's a solution. Restructure your contract. There's two all pro linemen right now that are going to be free agents. Corey Linsley, who's a center.
You better not come after Trent Williams.
No, we don't need Trent.
Okay.
We need two players. Restructure your contract. Find a way to add pieces that you want so that you aren't sacked 400 times. And that's Corey Linsley for the Packers and right tackle Joe Tooney for the, I'm probably mispronouncing that name, for the Patriots. Those guys are all pros. They're free agents.
Yeah.
Ciara's net worth is something like $20 million. You don't need the money. So find a solution. Don't walk in and say, I'm willing to give up, you know, restructure my contract so you pay me in a signing bonus at the end of the years, go out and be able to pay the offensive line. You took up 15%. Of the salary cap last year for the Hawks. We got Dwayne Brown. We're paying him $10 million. He did great. He was the fifth rated offensive tackle in the NFL last year. And right now, you're not probably going to, with those comments, you're not attracting the best offensive linemen, right?
Oh, like the current ones aren't going to want to block for you.
Exactly. So, Russ, as we do this West Coast swing, you might be West Coast swinging yourself out of Seattle, and you might end up in Houston. So I don't know what's going on with Russ, but I think he finds himself as being a guy that's overshadowed by younger guys and overshadowed by older guys. So what's your take? Summarize that for me, everything that I gave you.
I think Russ needs to just get down and dirty and play football. And if he doesn't want to be there, ask for a trade, but don't throw people under the bus in the media. Talk to your general manager, talk to your owner, talk to Pete Carroll, talk to your wife, and put a little lift in your soul so you can see over the offensive line too, Russ.
Exactly. I tried to come up with a solution there. I couldn't. Like, what are you going to go get smaller offense, shorter offensive linemen? Like, I didn't need to make this like I'm tall, Napoleon complex type thing, but that comes into play too.
It does. You know what also comes into play? The Utah Jazz. First place Utah Jazz. As of this recording, they are a half game in front of the Lakers. 10-2 at home, 10-3 on the road. I thought the difference has to be their road record, but no. Last year and the year before that, they were both over 500 on the road. Quinn Snyder, where is he from in Washington?
Mercer Island, where the person that called just called me, Jeff Hodges, currently lives. Mercer Island's a great place. The Islanders, Eddie Pepple, phenomenal high school coach. We beat him on the way to our high school state championship. But yes, that's where Quinn's from.
So Quinn made some tweaks to the offense before they went into the bubble. They didn't have Bogdanovich. I'll say that again. Bogdanovich.
Boogie.
So they were shooting a lot of three balls, but they didn't have the bench depth. They didn't have the system in place. But right now they do have the system in place. And you know why the Jazz are doing well? Because they're shooting the shit out of the ball, Big Ben. They're shooting that thing. It's all about three balls, stretch the court. They maybe didn't have all the personnel last year. Connolly wasn't healthy, but this year it's a different story. You got Mitchell shooting close to 42% from behind the arc, averaging 8.6 attempts a game. Connolly, Ingles, and then you have your stretch four and Bogey and Royce O'Neal, both shooting over 41% from the floor. So what happens when you stretch the floor? You got Mike Connolly, you got Jordan Clarkson, who could be sixth man of the year, and Donovan Mitchell driving, dishing. They look tough, Big Ben. The Jazz, I don't know if they could beat the Lakers or the Clippers, but right now they could finish a top four seed in the West.
I'm hesitant to opt in on the Jazz. Just because I think I said this yesterday with you, you won't find a fan outside of Salt Lake City that is an actual Jazz fan. So maybe you're shedding light on a team we should follow. But I think they're a flash in the pan. The first half flash in the pan. You're right. They haven't gotten hurt. Connolly's playing at full steam. Bogdanovich is playing well. Gobert got that big contract. He's a rim protector. He's almost averaging a double, or actually is actually averaging a double-double. 13. He averages more rebounds than points. That's an odd one to me, but you're right. They're playing well. Royce O'Neal's playing well. You know, the thing I will say about the Jazz, they have the best home court advantage probably in the NBA, maybe Oklahoma City.
Is that because the opposing team can't drink?
That's because the opposing team just wants to get the hell out of there. So they just, you know, I don't know what that amounts to. But they've got some interesting pieces. I'll say this. I'm not going to opt in. I'm not going to jump on the bandwagon like you are.
I'm just reporting the news. I'm not jumping anywhere yet.
They're in first place. Good for the Jazz. We got a long way to go. There won't be an all-star game, maybe a dunk contest, who knows. But talk to me in 2 months. Talk to me in May when the sun comes out in Seattle, and I might have a different story for you.
I want to use the time today on the podcast to announce Donovan Mitchell for MVP campaign. Hopefully I don't jinx him. Hopefully he sees this through. But right now, he's playing unbelievable. He's doing everything. He's scoring. He's playmaking. He's rebounding. He's playing D. I don't think he will get MVP because he plays for a small market. He's not even a top 15 scorer, I think, in the NBA. He's not a big name, doesn't have a big shoe contract. But I think his name needs to be considered for MVP at this point. Donovan Mitchell, you've got my vote if Adam Silver will give me a vote this year.
So when Adam Silver calls us back in regards to the other thing we brought up, you're actually going to say, hey, I'm starting the campaign. I'm with Western Standard Time. We have 5,000 followers on Twitter and 16,000 on Instagram. We're going to propel him to the MVP. That's what you're saying.
Yeah. And I want to say, Adam, do we get one vote for WST or do each of us get a vote? Because if we only get one vote, then I have to convince you to vote for Donovan with me.
I feel like if that happened, someone would make it a thesis. Like, how did this little podcast propel this guy who lives in or, you know, has a team in one of the smaller markets in the entire NBA to the MVP?
WST.
That won't happen.
Connecting and uniting fans from around the world in different time zones.
Here's why that won't happen. Unfortunately, there's too many bigger names than Donovan. It's a good story. I'll give him that. But I could see probably 10 to 12. 15 different players getting an MVP vote over Donovan Mitchell.
That's the unfortunate truth.
You know who I might give my MVP to? My MVP vote?
Well, you would normally give it to Bol Bol, but I don't know if he's been playing enough.
I do like Bol Bol.
LaMelo Ball.
No. Rookie of the year, maybe. Okay. Rookie of the year, maybe. So before I get into who I would vote for, have you heard of the movie The Rising Sun?
Yeah. I haven't seen it, though.
I think you're lying.
It's Wesley Snipes in that?
Ooh, okay. Stars, Sean Connery. Catch the Seaman. Wesley Snipes and Harvey Keitel. The plot is they attempt to solve a murder of a prostitute that happened in the corporate offices of LA by a Japanese-owned company. Ooh. Rising of the Sun. It's got 6.3 stars out of 10. Okay, when? There's a sequel to this movie, and it's better than the original, and it stars CP3, DeAndre Ayton, and Devin Booker, and it's directed by Monty Williams. Rising of the Sun, Sons, Part 2.
Okay.
That's what I want to talk about. And I'm bringing this up in the event that, you know, I get laid off, furloughed from WST.
Never.
And I'll just become the beat writer for the Suns for the next 10 years. I'd take that job in a heartbeat. But the plot here is they're investigating a murder. They're not investigating a murder, but they're trying to figure out how to take down the likes of Kawhi and LeBron in the West. Okay. The Wild, Wild West. I love this team, K1.
You were on them in the bubble. You were on them in the offseason, and you've been texting me nonstop all year.
I love them. I love this team. You got 7 players averaging double figures. They share the ball. CP3's the orchestra. He's the Yoda of the team. And then you got, you know, Just Blaze, called Jamison Crowder, the ultimate glue guy. He's right. The guy is amazing. Watch it last night. Defensively, he came up big. And then you got Ayton, his maturity. It's apparent. Like, we talked about it with Just Blaze as well. Like, is he going to become like the 18 and 12 guy we all think he is? Yeah, he is. And then Mikal Bridges upped his game. He's averaging 5 points more a game than he did last season. I'm not going to liken CP3 to Tom Brady and what he did for the Bucks, but the Suns haven't made the playoffs in 10 seasons, K1.
But CP3 is the guy, right? He's the leader. He's going to make sure that you do everything before the game, during the game, and after the game to be prepared to win the next game. He's the veteran presence, and it goes to show that it's just sometimes one veteran, one leader that can help a club get to the next level.
You're exactly right. I don't think Mikal Bridges averages 5 more a game if CP3 is not on the team. Yeah. And he's the guy that Monty Williams, who's, I wouldn't say on the younger side of coaching, but taking that momentum, like we said, and then compounding it with some leadership that you can sustain through a season is what they've done. They're currently 4th in the West. They're behind your proverbial favorite in the Jazz and the Lakers and the Clips.
What I just realized is CP3 came into the league, he was with Charlotte. It was when the Hornets or the Pelicans were in Charlotte. His coach was Monty Williams. So they do have history. They do have a connection. And CP3 played very well under Monty. So a part of the NBA is getting your best players to buy into the system, to buy in the program. CP is into the program. He understands the system. He's an extension of Monty. And it's been a success so far. And I look forward to them matching up first round, maybe second round against the Jazz.
Easy. I bold prediction here.
Okay.
Suns reach the Western Conference Finals.
Wow. So if they're going, the Clippers or the Lakers ain't going to make it, or my Jazz.
Hey, the Clips are going to get beat by the Blazers like they do every first round in the playoffs that they're matched up.
Playoff P?
Easy. No, you got Dame time, all time. Dame would probably lose games just to play the Clips in the first round again this year.
Yeah.
Quick trivia question. Name 3 players on that 2010 Suns team.
2010 Suns. So I moved to New York in 2010. I'm going to have to say, was Steve Nash on the team?
Correct. We've had Steve on.
Boris Diaw.
I don't think Boris was on the team at that time.
Barbosa.
Leonardo might have been on the team. But I'm talking the 3 most prominent names.
Well, because I couldn't remember if Stoudemire was still on the team.
He was there.
And Sean Marion.
Grant Hill, close.
Oh, I think Marion had gone to Dallas at that point.
Yeah. So the reason I'm so high on the Suns is, one, I like CP3. I like Booker. If you jump on ESPN, read the article by Will Bond on Booker. He's an old man. Old, you know, he's an interesting cat in that he just likes old things. You know, rather than yucking it up and drinking White Claws, he'll go sit and sip a bourbon and listen to stories. And then you got his sister who's special needs, and so it slows him down. He's a good dude. He should be a catalyst for the next wave of NBA, him and Donovan Mitchell, who you already mentioned. And they had a big win against the Bucks last night.
They came from behind last night.
They did. They did. And, you know, I think the one thing they might be missing, and I didn't see Saric last night, but they need a big. They need a bruiser. They need Bill Laimbeer to come out of retirement and just go kind
of. They got Frank Kaminsky.
No, I watched Frank last night. He's not going to be your bruiser. I looked at the weight of every player on the Suns. I weigh more than everyone but Ayton. They need some weight. They need someone.
Is that because you put on the COVID-15?
That is because I put on the COVID-15. I need to put on the COVID-45 and go check in for the Suns every now and again.
If you put on the COVID-45, you need to go block for Russ and the Seahawks.
There's your solution, Russ. Right here. I love it. All right. The Rising of the Sun part two. That's what I see from the Suns in my NBA take. CP3, Devin Booker, Ayton, Mikal Bridges. And if that happens, the director is going to win an Emmy, also known as the NBA Coach of the Year, in Monty Williams.
Ooh, I like that. WST hot takes. We got UCLA Bruins. Go watch them because they're going to go to the Sweet 16. We got Russ. Will he stay in Seattle? Will he get some blockers? Will Big Ben come and block for Russ? We got my Utah Jazz in first place. Donovan Mitchell MVP campaign starts now. And in the Valley of the Sun, we got the Valley Boys. Phoenix Suns. Go watch
them. Whoa. We're not calling them the Valley Boys.
That was their marketing campaign.
What?
Yeah, check it out. They were wearing their new black uniforms, the Valley Boys. That I think there's a hashtag on Twitter.
I like the term that I don't mean this as derogatory. Who were we talking to that lives in Spokane? He's a beat writer for the Cards.
Oh, Bo Brock.
Bo Brock. He said himself, he's like, I'm a desert rat.
Desert rat. You think Desert Rat is better than Valley Boys?
I think they need new marketing, both of them. Let's go with the Fire Squad.
Okay.
The Heat Squad. Something. Something better than both those. Big Ben and Kay Wynn, WST Podcast, taking you around the West Coast, West Coast Swing. We are sponsored by 88 Acres, the Seed Bar. Make sure to, if you want a Seed Bar, send us an email, shoot us a direct message in Instagram or Twitter. We'll get you some Seed Bars. We got some hats too. Go get our merch. I think they're $20. They look good. This is the white version. You can find us wherever you're getting your podcasts, Spotify, iHeartRadio, whatever. Wherever you find us, rate us 5 stars, review us, tell us what you like, what you don't like. And
No Filter Network. We're live streaming now. Check us out. We're a host. We're an ambassador on nofilter.net. Big Ben and Kaywin. Long list of stars, long list of sports personalities. I don't know how we got on there, but we're on there. So check us out there. Also Twitter, Instagram at WST_podcast. Send us an email. Let us know about Donovan Mitchell, UCLA, Phoenix Suns. Who else you want to hear? That is WSTpodcastshow@gmail.com. WSTpodcastshow@gmail.com.
Cougs are up 20 on the Bruins right now.
No way. Phoenix is very good.
Oh.